The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. That very day, the first day of the week, two of Jesus' disciples were going to a village 7 miles from Jerusalem called Emmaus. And they were conversing about all the things that had occurred. And it happened while they were conversing and debating that Jesus himself drew near and walked with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. He asked them, "What were you discussing as you walked along?" They stopped looking downcast. One of them, Cleopas, said in reply, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know of the things that have taken place in these days?" And he replied to them, "What sort of things?" And they said to him, "The things that happened to Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty indeed in word, before God and all the people. Our chief priests and rulers both handed him over to a sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that he would be the one to redeem Israel. And besides all this, it is now the third day since this took place. Some women from our group, however, have astounded us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, but did not find his body. They came back and reported that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who announced that he was alive. Then some of those with us went to the tomb and found things just as the women had described, but him they did not see." And he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets spoke. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and so enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them what referred to him in all the scriptures. As they approached the village to which they were going, he gave the impression that he was going on farther. But they urged him, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening, and the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. And it happened that while he was with them at table, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them. With that, their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, but he vanished in their sight. Then they said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us as he spoke to us on the way and opened the scriptures to us?" So they set out at once and returned to Jerusalem, where they found gathered together the 11 who were with them, saying, "The Lord has truly been raised. He has appeared to Simon." Then the two recounted what had taken place on the way and how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The Gospel of the Lord. This journey to Emmaus is an interesting, manifestation of the resurrection, because in effect you have two disciples, one of them named Cleopas, we don't know who the other one was, and they're very discouraged, they're downcast. In fact, they're walking away from the resurrection. You notice everything that took place in Jerusalem, and they have their backs to Jerusalem, and they're walking away from Jerusalem. And the Lord needs to get them turned around, send them back toward the resurrection, back to Jerusalem. And how does he do it? In effect, I don't know if you've noticed, but he celebrates a Mass with them. And I don't know how often we think of the Holy Mass as a way that the Lord converts us or turns us back to the paths we need to be, but that is certainly one of the things that Holy Mass is for us. Now, notice that there's a structure of a Mass here. First of all, there's a gathering of two disciples in this case. And remember, what does the Lord say? "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." And so, in this gathering, the Lord joins them. And that's what's happened this morning. Two or three of us have gathered, a little more, but I mean, you see the point. And the Lord is with us now, you see, symbolized by the celebrant of this Mass coming out, namely the priest, myself. And notice, in effect, he asked them, "How you doing? What's going on in your life?" Isn't that really what the Lord have mercy is for us? where we acknowledge our sins and we confess our sins. In some masses we say the Confiteor, I confess to Almighty God. But the Lord asks us to, what's going on in your life? What's happening? Why are you discouraged? What is the source of your sorrow? Why are you downcast? And the Lord simply says to them again, basically, tell me what is happening in your life. And then he takes a word and breaks it open for them, which is what's happening right now in this liturgy. That is to say, he spoke of all the scriptures that referred to him. And so part of the way he turns them around is, first of all, he asks them what is happening in their life, why are they discouraged. Then he takes a word, namely God's word, and breaks it open for them. And then you notice that when that is completed, not only this, they go into the house, so to speak, or into the table, which is what we're about to do. And he takes the bread, said the blessing, broke it, gave it to them, and said, you see, again, the Eucharist is celebrated. And it says, and I'll get back to this in just a second, that he vanished from their sight at that point. But then they got up from table and ran back, notice now, to Jerusalem, back towards the resurrection, back toward hope and glory. And this, too, again, is a beautiful symbol of what's supposed to take place at the end of Mass. Having come, perhaps with discouragement, with sorrows or whatever, we gather, the Lord celebrates with us a kind of a penitential rite, and then breaks open a word for us, then breaks the bread for us, namely the celebrates the Eucharist for us, and then sends us back. The Mass is ended, go in peace, and they go back. And they announce what they have seen and heard, how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. And that's your job today, to take what you've heard and experienced and received and announce it to the world. And so in effect, what the Lord does to get them back on the right track is to celebrate a liturgy with them, to celebrate Mass. Now, one final thought here. Well, actually, two quick thoughts, just observations, really. Notice that he vanished from their sight, almost as though he were teaching them, I will no longer be present with you in the way I was, namely, like a physical person that you touch, who walks with you and talks with you in the normal way that an average human being would. Now I will still be with you, but sacramentally, in a sacramental way. Really and truly present, yes, but not in the same way that he had been with them. Something far more powerful, far more unique, namely in the sacrament, in the Holy Eucharist, he will be present with us. And then the other observation in this is that notice that the teaching on the resurrection becomes orthodoxy. It becomes church teaching when the Lord appears to Peter. Listen to what the text says. He was greeted, these two disciples were greeted when they got back with this, quote, the Lord has truly been raised. He has appeared to Simon. In other words, Simon Peter. Now notice, the women had already said, he is risen, we've seen him alive, angels have told us, and so on. But it wasn't church teaching yet. When does it become church teaching? When he appears to Simon. Now we can announce as a church that the Lord is truly risen. And that, of course, is a reminder to us of the role of the Pope or the papacy. That we as a church solemnly declare things to be believed when it is experienced in the church community, but not simply that, but when the bishops in union with the Pope solemnly declare something to be dogma or doctrine. But notice, not just the bishops, not just experienced in the community of believers, not just the bishops, but the bishops in union with the Pope, Simon Peter, When does something become dogma? When Peter announces it. You see the vision here? And so again, we're getting ready for the visit of the Pope, and I just want you to notice that the teaching of the resurrection becomes dogma, becomes the solemn declaration of the church, only when Peter can solemnly announce it. And that's more of an observation to make to you, but again, to reiterate my main point today, and then I'm done. These disciples were headed in the wrong direction. The Lord needed to convert them, needed to bring them to conversion. How did he do it? By, in effect, celebrating a Mass with them. The result of that Mass is they head back to Jerusalem and announce what they've seen and heard. Amen.